Conley back to inbound. He finds Joe, catch and shoot three, got it away. And hits it home! Joe, a little stare back at Carter Williams.
Yeah, the voice is nearly there. NBA Australia. Hey, yeah, that's right. It's NBA Australia's Wednesday, December 18. We've got a week left till Chrissy. Have you got all your prezzies? Jesus, better hurry up. I think I've got all my stuff sorted, don't I? I don't know. Sorry, fam. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that walking around money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, breaking down and wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Straya a little bit and not taking shit too seriously. I'll leave that to the nerds. Pretty chill day in the NBA today. What was it, six games? We had some trade rumors, some names being floated around. We had a big Knicks win, of all things. It's pretty weird. So it's going to be all in the game wraps. So we're going to talk about it, a bunch of other stuff. That's not a knife, old mate. No, mate. Spud of the night. Pants in the evening. Better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, we've got Yeah Nah. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. And we've got our back take house where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's also a brand new Mark Bradkey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week, which is a good one. And an absolute ripper. Great moment in NBA Australia stat history. That's what we do every Wednesday. We're also going to check in and see how every Australian player is going 25-odd games into the season. Check their averages. Have a quick just check up. See what's going on. See how they're doing. plus, as usual, a pick and preview for all the games tomorrow. Brought to you by faceup.com.au/NBA Australia. Go check that out for some sweet NBA odds. And we're going to finish up with a new Rowdy's Reco. How good's that? All right, big show for you. Let's do it. NBA Australia episode 379. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Or better watch out for the attack of Pat Beverly if you're Frank the Tank Kaminsky. That dude got. You better watch out. What else? Watch out for the attack of your teammate. If you're Spindles Ingram. Lonzo just wanged him back in the head. That was pretty brutal, pretty funny. Get that on the big jobs though, don't you, sometimes? Isn't that right, Pelicans? 13 straight. Anyway, we're going to start today's show with the daily... Whip around, that's right. Rudy Hachimura is out at least five games with a groin injury. Not surprised there. Hefting that hog around will do that, I guess. Jesus. Anthony Davis missed today's game with a sprained ankle. He did come down weird in the Lakers' last game. Played out the rest of that game, but decided to sit this one out today. You know, didn't work out the best for them. We'll talk about that in game wraps. De'Aaron Fox, he's back. It was a big day for the D's. De'Aaron Fox, De'Aaron Ayton, both back. That's pretty good. John Wall was filmed dunking during pregame. So all five Washington Wizards fans will be pretty excited about that. the Celtics are going to call up Taco Fall from the old main Red Claws. Yeah, he's coming up from the G League. Oh, 7'20" of him. For the games at Dallas and Detroit and Charlotte, because Time Lord Bobby Williams and Vincent Poirier are both out with the Celtics, so maybe we get a bit of Taco. That'll be fun. Makes up for the lack of Luka in this Boston-Dallas game this week, so that'll be good. The Blazers, PDX Pete's Portland Trail Blazers, have been granted a $2.86 million injury exception for Rodney Spud Hood and his busted Achilles. Awesome. I mean, great. They're not going to spend that, are they? They're already over the tax. And finally, Mark Stein of the old New York Times came out and said, JJ Redick isn't available. And then actually what I'm saying here is that Jrue Holiday is. And Pelicans GM David Griffin then went on the broadcast of the Pelicans game today and said, nothing has changed at all in our approach to the situation all the season. He was then asked, so you're not going to try to trade Holiday? Griffin then replied, clearly not. So that's the old STFU Mark Stein, apparently, from David Griffin. He's like, dude, you're killing my fucking leverage here. Fuck off. That's good. All right, let's do some game wraps, shall we? We had some really fun games today. Charlotte beat the Kings 110-102 in Charlotte. This was a fun, like, I watched a bunch of this one. I just, you know, I fucking love De'Aaron Fox. But Charlotte just, look, wouldn't let go. Sacramento could just never peg him back. And Charlotte just kind of got there. It was a strange game. The Kings got an out-rebound of 51-33, shot 41%. That'll do it. Buddy Steph Curry-Hield struggled. 14 points on 5-13 shooting. Still 4 of 8 from 3, though. Not bad. De'Aza, old swipe of the Fox, came off the bench, had 19 points and 8 assists, and jumped over a dude. Straight up de-hurdled a motherfucker. That was pretty cool. Marvy Bagges had 14 and 7 as well, but just nothing really going for the Kings. Harrison Barnes just wasn't doing much either. It was just gross. For the Hornets, Devontae Graham had a rough night. 15 points on 15 shots. 4 of 15 he shot, all 4 of which were threes. Not bad. 7 assists, though. But this was really about Malik Monk. He went 9 of 12. 9 of 12. 23 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 of 4 from deep. Thing is, Malik Monk does this every, like, 5 weeks or so. He has, like, a good game. Like, oh, is Malik Monk good? Here we go. And then he doesn't do it again for another month and a week. Yeah, killing me. Cody the Bank, Dallas Allard, 17 and 9, and 16 points for Mav Williams. I still reckon someone should trade for him on the DL. Someone who needs like a vet wing. Looking at you, Houston. What do you reckon? Anyway, Hornets, though, cruising along. They're 13 and 17. They're not fucking offloading anybody just yet. They got a better record than Sacramento at 12 and 15. Nice. Indy beat the Los Angeles Lakers of Los Angeles, California, 105-102. Picked this yesterday. Nice one, Jimmy. No AD for the Lakers. LeBron James was still out there just throwing no-look fucking behind-his-head passes and shit to Dwight Howard, which is pretty great. Rondo was throwing some pretty amazing passes. Jesus, you do forget that, like, Rondo is, like, a passing savant sometimes. 42 toothpicks. But he does that with, like, Connect Four and passing. Anyway, I just love watching Indy because it's holiday season. You got Juzzy and Azza Holiday. And if there's a team that should trade for Jrue Holiday, it's obviously Indy, or at least try to get the other brothers on it on another team. But anyway, this was a wildly fun game. The Lakers were down for a bunch of the third quarter and then into the fourth and came roaring back. They're up 4. LeBron missed a couple of free throws, though. Dwight did as well. Then Brogdon, out of nowhere, hits an amazing, just gave Dwight Howard a bit of a shake on the perimeter, drove all the way to the cup, bang, reverse twisty old layup for the win, basically. Suva hit 1 or 2 free throws after that. Rondo took the game-tying shot from Steph Curry range. In a surprise twist, it didn't go in. Indy win, 105-102. Snapped the Lakers' 14-game road winning streak. El Presidente Malcolm Brogdon was amazing down the stretch. The Lakers, 20 for LeBron James on 20 shots, 0 of 6 from 3. So kind of like the inverse of his game the other day where he was the only one apart from Rondo to hit any threes. Today he hit none. 9 rebounds, 9 assists as well. Dwight didn't miss though. 10 of 10. 10 of 10. Didn't hit any free throws though. 20 points, 6 rebounds in 26 minutes. Caruso had 13. Avery Bradley 11. Just not enough though. They shot 8 of 31 from 3. Not great, Lakers. Not great. It's like, come on. This is the game where you need KCP and Danny Green just to really step up and just hit some crucial buckets. And look, Danny Green went 2 of 4, KCP went 1 of 3, but it's like, you know, the 15 minutes of Jared Dudley where he goes 1 of 4 and you're like, Rondo goes 1 of 4, Bradley goes 1 of 4, Troy Daniels 0 of 1, and you're like, oh, geez, I don't know if we're going to get over the hump here, and they didn't. The Pacers, Suva, Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, 26 points, 10 assists, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, there we go, 10 of 15 from the floor and 1 of 2 from deep. He was awesome. He was everywhere. And he combined with Miles Turner. Yeah, Miles Turner had 16 and 7 with 2 blocks. And this is why I like the Pacers and like all the calls. Like, we need to break up their 2 bigs. They can't play them at the same time. Like, well, but they're also really fucking good. Like, let's just settle down. This was a weird one, though. Like, TJ Warren didn't really get going. He had 12 points on 12 shots. 5 of 12 shooting for TJ Warren. And then El Prez was 6 of 16 for 14, but clutch as fuck. 7 points down the stretch. He was amazing. Azza Holiday had 11. Juzzy had 6 and 7. I mean, TJ McConnell was doing cool shit. He had 3 steals to go with these 10 points. On your Teej. Not bad, mate. Not bad. Anyway, they, you know, 12 turnovers to 13. The Pacers just really kept their cool down the stretch. Even after they got down 4, clawed their way back, and Brogdon, just a heady dude, kept him in it. Nice one. LA, Frank Vogel, he's 0 of 8 against his old team, the Pacers, which is crazy. And the Lakers dropped to 24 and 4. Indy moved to 19 and 9. Nice one. They're going to be a fucking problem when Victor Oladipo gets back. In New York City, the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City shit pumped the Atlanta Hawks, 143-120. That was the Knicks' first 40-point quarter of the season in the first quarter, and this was an absolute fucking joke of a game. The Knicks just fucking killed him. Atlanta couldn't do anything. No defense. Poor Vince Carter. Everyone's like, oh, it's his last game in Madison Square Garden. It's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess he's not going to make the playoffs with Atlanta at this rate, is he? And the fucking Knicks are definitely not going to, unless you listen to Mook Morris. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, Ice Trae Young at 42-8, but I don't know why the fuck he was out there for a lot of this game. It's like, are you just trying to get him hurt again? Lloyd Pierce, what the fuck? 19-5-4 for DeAndre. Hannah and Kevin Huerta had 14 points and 5 assists. Vince, though, was pretty good. He did go 4 of 7 from deep. Ends up with 15 points and 2 blocks as well. The Knicks, look, they shot 55.8% from the floor, 13-28 from 3. It just shows you how much defense the Hawks are playing. RJ Barrett had a career-high 27. We'll talk about him in a bit. The other, Mitch Robinson, had 22, a career-high for him as well, with 13 rebounds. Mook Morris, 22, 17-11 for Hoodius. Randall, an 11-7 for Fighting Bobby Portis. Fighting around the world. They had 6 players in double figures, the Knicks. Yeesh. Not a good game for Atlanta. Atlanta, 6-22. New York City, 7-21. 3-3 under new coach Mike, not that one, Miller. The Nets survived a scare in New Orleans, 108-101, beating the Pelicans in overtime. Pels jumped out to a big lead real early and then missed their final 15 shots of the first half. 15! They missed 15 straight shots. And the Nets closed out on a 15-0 run and kept the Pelicans to 35 in the first half. That's the least that Brooklyn have actually given up in any half this season. But then, in typical Brooklyn fashion, shit the bed. And the Pelicans came back, got past them. And then the Nets just kind of went, oh, wait, but we don't have Kyrie, so we might actually have a chance here. And gave the ball to Spencer Dinwiddie, and he brought them back, won them the game, basically. The Pelicans got screwed by the refs, however. Spencer Dinwiddie was out there going for the win, where it's all tied up at the end of regulation. Misses everything. The refs go, nah, that definitely hit the rim. And everyone's like, no, it fucking didn't. It wasn't even close. Pelicans get screwed out of a stoppage. Can't challenge that because there's no whistle. And, yeah, go to overtime. Dinwiddie and Harris take over. The Pels hit 3 shots in 5 minutes in overtime, so that was it. Jesus. Pelicans shot 34%, 27% from 3. Yeesh. Spindles had 22 points. Not bad, but that was on 7 of 23 shooting. That's bad. But he's better than Ben Simmons, I tell ya. Jrue Holiday, 21-6 for him. Josh Hart had 14-9, 13-8 for Jackson Hayes. We'll talk about Lonzo's game in a little bit. Spencer Dinwiddie was amazing. Breaks his streak of 24 points in the game by scoring 31. He was very, very good. Just kept attacking the rack. He went 1 of 8 from downtown, but was fucking awesome down the stretch. 24 for Joe Harris. 5 made threes, including 1 back, breaking one at the end of regulation and then in overtime. 12-14 with 6 blocks for Go The Fro, Jared Allen, and 12 for David Nwaba. Pelicans, 13 straight losses now, 6-22. Brooklyn, 15-12. Magic, wow. Lose in Utah, 109-102. The Jazz had this under control, then somehow got down. They went on a 9-0 run with 3 minutes left to get back up. They close out on a 17-3 run over the Magic. The Magic men just couldn't hit a fucking shot to save their fucking life. Absolutely crazy, which is pretty funny. Pretty devastating if you're a Magic fan, I guess. Donovan Mitchell and Bojan scored 15 of those 17 points during that run. The only other two, I think, were Gobert free throws. So the Magic, Fournier going up against his French mate Rudy Gobert. Is that what they were? 19 points. Nice. 14-2 for Markel Fultz. DJ Augustine, 22 points and a please somebody give me a contract next year. Vooch had 12, 11, and 4. But it was really like the Magic not being able to get much from Air Gordon and Johnny Isaac. 6 and 7 points respectively, 9 rebounds combined, 3 blocks at least for Isaac, but Jesus. For the Jazz, Donovan Mitchell had 30, Bojan had 30, Rudy Gobert, 12 points, 19 rebounds and 5 assists, and Jingles was awesome as well. Stared down, motherfuckers, after dropping a 3-bomb on his head, 16 points, 12 rebounds for Jingler. Conley came back and then left again after 18 minutes on a minutes restriction with a calf. Not great for the Jazz. A bit worried about that. Anyway, Orlando dropped to 12 and 14. Utah, 15 and 11. Nice. And finally, Phoenix brought back Diaz Ayton and then got their asses handed to them by the Clips in LA in front of Kevin Garnett, Adam Sandler and co. And Billy Crystal, 120-99. This was just a fucking laugher. Third quarter, Clippers just went, nah, fuck yous. Get out of here. So Ayton back. No Booker for the Suns. Rough game for the Suns. Rough game. Nothing worked. No one could hit anything. What did they shoot? They shot 40% in this. 4 of 13 for Frank the Tank. Rubio went 2 of 12. Just fucked. Tell you what. Not great. Not great. Anyway, Ayton had 18 and 12 in his return. 9 of 19 shooting, though. And talk about that later. Oubre, 19 points. 3 steals. A couple of nice yams. One specifically on Paul George, which was brutal. Frank the Tank had 12 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and got blocked by Pat Beverly. Mentioned that at the start. Clippers, Paul George, 24. That was awesome. Got dunked on and then dunked on Kelly Oubre in return. That's some Paul George action. I like that. 3 steals as well. Kawhi. Had a kind of quiet 20, but was like still plus 15. It's classic Kawhi. Sweet Lou had 20 points and 8 assists, and Montrez had 15, 5, and 3. Clippers just cruised to this one. This was a lot of garbage time late. Props to Zoobs. 12 points, 4 rebounds, 5 of 7 shooting for Zoobs. Love me some Zoobs. Anyway, Phoenix dropped 11 and 16. Not talking shit on social media now. Clippers 21 and 8. All right, let's give out the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Spencil. Spencil, Dinwiddie. Fucking, what a takeover. 8 straight points in the fourth quarter. Got them back up in it, the old Nets. They were down. They'd shit the bed. And Spencer goes, all right, fuck off. I'll fucking just start hitting shots then. Joe Harris chucked it in. But yeah, Spencer with 31 was pretty amazing. Definitely a game that the Nets would usually lose. And Spencer just went, nah, fuck yous. You know? Not a bad week for Spencer. Dunks on a dude and then turns around as a 31-point game. Pretty good. He dunked on Tobias Harris, didn't he? Yeah. But Jimmy, Trae Young had 42. Yeah, bro. And they were down 25 for the entire fucking game. And he played 40-odd minutes for no reason. Jesus Lord, are you trying to get him hurt? He played 41 minutes. Like, this game was D-U-N done at the half. Like, this is a game where you go, right, fuck it, boys, we're packing her up. Alan Crabb, you're our point guard now. Member Berries, you're our guy. Let's do it. Yeah, weird. Anyway, but that's basically it. I mean, Paul George was very good early on. He had basically what? He didn't have to play in the fourth quarter. That's how good they were. Bojan and Donovan with 30 each. That was really good. So a couple of nice ones, but let's give it to Spencel. He deserves it. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, the Pelicans get fucking stooged by the refs. That was absolutely crazy. I mean, Gentry asked him after the game was done. He's like, I asked them to review it 3 times. They said it clearly hit the rim, which makes zero fucking sense because it very clearly didn't. And the refs were like, no, I don't know. Like, I don't know if the Pelicans had a timeout left, but Lonzo definitely probably should have called one because, yeah, they looked all fucked up and were all just, like, completely discombobulated. But still, look, the Pelicans definitely old mate, no mates. They get rim-jobbed by the refs. Spindles, also old mate, no mates, because he got wanged in the back of his head by his fucking buddy Lonzo. Mate, what the fuck are you doing? You're going to give me a concussion. Pretty crazy. But at least, I mean, look, the Pelicans got an old mate, no mates, Wilson Chandler on their side as well. Untucked jersey gave them a free point. The refs are like, oh, look, we'll give you a free point. What do you reckon? Thanks a lot. Thanks a fucking lot. Anyway, the Pelicans, definitely old mate, no mates. And apparently this is, we're going to get to this in a second. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
I mean, the reason the Pelicans are spud of the night is because of fucking, Kevin Scott. He's spud of the night, the same ref that missed the fucking Harden dunk and caused an absolute shitstorm. Didn't count that dunk. Today, he misses a fucking shot clock violation as goddamn as obvious as the fucking hand in front of your face, Kevin. Mate, it was so fucking clear. It made no damn sense that you missed it. Everyone's like, basically, like half the team just stopped playing. They're just like, oh, yeah, well, that's a shot clock violation. The refs don't do shit. Kevin, mate, get your fucking eyes tested. Also, NBA, come get your boy. He's fucking up. He needs a fucking bit of a sit down and a talking to, I reckon. Jesus Christ, Kevin. You spud. Panting of the night, Atlanta, embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing. But Dennis Smith Jr. also got, a bit of a flip side. Dennis Smith Jr. got nutmegged through the five hole by Trae Young. That was pretty panting. Like, you don't want to be the home team guy and have that happen to you. That's a panting, just hanging out by a locker, trying to get your lunch or something, and then bang, pantsed. Frank the Tank as well, panting the night, got blocked by Pat Bev. When you're a 7 foot dude, and you get blocked by a fucking, 6'1" pit bull. That's a panting. Nice. But, Frank the Tank and his stupid fucking nose. Who knows? Who knows? That was a good one. All right. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as you've already got your merch.
Steve up.
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch.
Because I'm pretty sure there's like a big baller brand warehouse somewhere that's about to burn down for the insurance money. Very soon. Lonzo, 10 points. That's good. 4 of 13 shooting. That's bad. 8 rebounds. That's good. And 1 of 5 from 3. That's bad. 4 assists. That's good. 2 turnovers, -9 for the game, and gave Spindles Ingram a fucking concussion by wanging him in the back of the head on the last possession of the game, well, of regulation. Yeah, that's bad. Lonzo, what the fuck? So better than Lonzo Ball, Taurine the Red Bull Prince, definitely better than Lonzo Ball because he blocked the absolute fucking bejesus out of Lonzo in that Nets-Pelicans game. Fucking volleyball spiked into like 47 rows back down there at the Smoothie King Center. That was pretty funny. But also Malik Monk, I mentioned that earlier. 9 of 12 shooting, 23 points. He was fucking grouse today for Charlotte. And RJ Barrett, career high, 27 points for the New York Knickerbockers. 10 of 13 field goals, including one wildly entertaining hammer dunk. 2 of 3 from downtown, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 0 turnovers. That's fucking grouse. And therefore, better than Lonzo Ball. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs. Let's say right after Creaky.
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Let's do some yeah nahs. How's your throat, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, not bad. I was out at the Children Collide gig at Cherry last night. It was fun as shit. What a great show that was. And it's also one of those things where you got a fucked throat. And you're drinking some tins, you're hanging out, and you got your bit of a swerve on, you're feeling good, and you're like, oh, fuck, I just shouldn't talk much, though. Jesus, this is brutal. But I think I came through it all right. Anyway, it was good. Don't forget as well, December 21, this Saturday in Melbourne, Last Chance Rock and Roll Bar. Awesome big Christmas party. Go to that. Right, let's do some yeah nahs. We're taking a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one, is Mook Morris right? Can the Knicks make the playoffs? Yeah, nah, no. Get the fuck out of here, Mook, you idiot. He said, we're trending in the right direction. I'm not going to go out and say we're going to make the playoffs, but shit, that's what we're fighting towards. That's the goal. We're definitely trying hard. Hopefully we do make it. Yeah, nah. Nah, you're not going to. I don't want to break your heart there, Mook, but... yeah. Secondly, stick with Knickerbockers. Was Fizz really the problem in New York? They've gone 3-3 since they shit canned him. Doesn't look great, but also I'd say nah. That's a bit of a nice dead coach bounce. They got shit pumped in the first game, and but they've for, you know, sort of really tighten up the rotation. There's a change in voice. I feel like dudes sort of realize that there's a new guy in charge. They're going to play a bit harder. They might see their roles change because of that. So, you know, it's basically like when teacher changes halfway through the fucking semester or something, you're like, oh, wait, this guy doesn't think I'm a fucking idiot. Maybe I can impress him. That'll be good. Nice. Speaking of which, is Jim Boylan the worst coach in the NBA? Yeah, nah. Ew. With apologies to Mark Jackson when he's eventually appointed by the Knicks. Yeah, fuck yeah. There's like no rhyme or reason to why the Bulls do anything. There was a great piece by Ricky O'Donnell on SB Nation about this. They suck defensively. They're even worse on offense. If you can point to anyone who's gotten better under Boylan, I'd be fucking shocked. I mean, they've blown 10-point leads in fourth quarters, 8-point leads in 3 minutes, 13-point leads. I mean, 26-point lead against the Thunder the other day. I mean, what the fuck? He's just horrible. And the best part is, it's exactly how he got shit-canned in the college. So, I don't know. The thing is, he's not going to get fired because the Bulls are fucking just, their head is so far up their ass. But a couple more blown leads like that against the Thunder, maybe. Yeah, he is most definitely the worst fucking coach. Like, you can't, like, they're healthy as well, you know? You can't point and go, oh, they're missing Otto Porter. It's like, well, that shouldn't sink your entire fucking season. Not when you've got all this goddamn young talent that everyone's losing their minds over. Chicago, something is awry. Next up, talked about trade rumors and Mark Stein over there. Should the Pelicans look to trade JJ Redick? Contrary to what Steinimo was hearing. Yeah, nah, look, I love JJ, but yeah, they should. I mean, this year for the Pelicans is a write-off. Just get what you can for him and move on. I love the idea when Zion was healthy and just go, fuck it, let's go in. We've already got a shit ton of young talent. We've got Hart, we've got Lonzo, we've got Spindles. Let's put a couple of veterans in Faves and JJ around him. We'll see how we go. But what are they, like 6-23 or something at the moment? That's just not going to cut it, bruh. So, yeah, 6-22. Like, they're not going to fight for a playoff spot at this point. You should probably trade JJ. Like, I love him. He's awesome, but he's probably got more value on a contender than on... Look, and he hasn't missed the playoffs, like, in a million years, so why start now? The flip side is, should they trade Jrue Holiday? Yeah, nah. Oh. I tend to think, nah, because he's only 29, and you do need a solid vet on a team that's got Zion, Spindles, Lonzo, and Hart and co. And if someone comes knocking with a kick-ass deal, then maybe you look at it, though. You know, that's the point where you go, fuck it, yeah, thanks for everything, Jrue, but we've got, like, you know, a young piece and a draft pick and something else, and away we go. Like, there's a couple of good ones. How do you like the idea of him to the Wolves for El Jefe Teague, Jarrett Culver, and maybe Minnesota's first next year? What do you reckon? Is that too much for Jrue Holiday? I don't know, but he'd be amazing on the Wolves next to Cat and Wigo, wouldn't he? I'd be amazing on Dallas. Unfortunately, I don't think Dallas can really trade much. The Bucks, same sort of thing. I just can't really see the Pelicans going, well, okay, well, let's take Eric Bledsoe. yeah, he'd be terrifying on the Heat. Unfortunately, the Heat can't trade fucking any first-round picks as well because of the ones they already owe. And I don't know, Denver... Do you trade him for the Dartsman, Gary Harris, Malik Beasley, and maybe a pick as well? They're already out one to OKC, so yeah, it's a bit weird. But there's a couple of landing spots for Jrue. They all sound pretty good. Wolves, Dallas, Bucks, Heat, Denver. Some good ones. Nice. Anyway, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. I don't know, man. If Trae Young's that good, the Hawks shouldn't be this bad, right? You know, this game against the Knicks today was brutal. Trae goes 16-29. He's amazing, I get it. 7 threes, 8 assists, only 3 turnovers, 42 points, crushes it. You've got Cam Reddish, you've got DeAndre Hannah, you've got your young dudes, I get that. You've got Kevin Huerta, though. He's out there. He's meant to be your Clay. You've got Jabari Park. We all know he's basically a lost fucking cause at this point. Oh, Vince Carter, Alan Crabb will break your heart. 0-4 today, Alan Crabb. Bit of spudworthiness right there as well. But Alex Len, the Ukrainian stepladder and shit. Like, John Collins shouldn't mean this much to a fucking franchise. They looked really, really sprightly when John Collins was out there. That's a title cocktail. And he'll be back soon. But man, just would have expected like a little bit more. Like a little bit more competitive. They're 6-22 now, the Hawks. Jesus. That's, what is it? 5 games straight they've lost. The last win came against the Hornets. They beat the Warriors. Jesus. And before that, it was another massive, a 10-game losing streak? Ugh. Just gross. Anyway, not great. I like Trey. It's just something there that kind of bugs me. All right, Outback Takehouse.
It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means? West Sydney Razorback Ribs, cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker. Only at Outback. And they go great with a flame grill take. And today's flame grill take is, you saw it writ large today. The Phoenix Suns will be worse with DeAndre Ayton than without him. Book it. Only at Outback. I think I tweeted that one out as well, and I feel pretty good about it. Like, there's like, what does Ayton give you that you're not basically getting without, you know, from out the without the combination of Frank the Tank and Bangers? Like, defense, you got that from Bangers. Bangers stretches the floor. Frank the Tank does as well. Ayton went 9 of 19 today, and you're like, oh, yeah, cool, but what have you done for me lately, DeAndre? All right. Australian Player Watch, we'll look at all what they're all up to and everything like that right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. What do you reckon? A couple of good ones today in the actual games. Jingles. He was awesome. Stared down to MCW after dropping a 3 on his head. 16 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 of 8 from the floor. 4 of 4 from 3. And 2 blocks on your Jingles. Dante Sexum didn't get out there. Bangers in the loss versus the Clippers. He only had 2 points, 1 of 5 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3. 4 rebounds, 2 fouls. Tough one. All right, but this is it's a nice little Wednesday just before Christmas where we might just have a quick look and see how everybody's doing and what their averages are at the moment. Big Simo, he's dropped his averages down a pretty hefty amount. He was scoring at a pretty high clip early on in the season, 18.5 points. Now he's down to 14.3. So he has 6.8 rebounds. That checks out with average Allen and Embiid out there. 8.2 assists. That's down from 9.5 last time we did this. Is shooting 57.1% from the floor, though, and 40% from three. And 2.1 steals a game. Pretty bloody good. You'll take that. He had his career high, 34 against the Cavs. Looking good, but still really not taking over offensively when you maybe need him to. It's a bit frustrating. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce. Down in the G League for most of the year so far. He's only appeared in 2 games. 5 total minutes, 2 points, 1-1 from the floor, 1 steal, 0 of 2 from the free throw line. So the averages aren't really there. Jingling Joe Ingles. Might have popped up a tiny little bit today, 8.4 points, I'd say. 4.2 rebounds, 4.2 assists, 1 steal. Shooting at about 40% and about 36%, 33.6% from 3. The Jingling one had a bit of a rough start to the year, but in December is absolutely fucking crushing it. It's basically shooting 50% from 3. So, look, I feel like he's coming good. Dante Sexum, he's played 84 total minutes so far. That's 7.5 as an average. He scored a total of 24 points. Got 12 total rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks for steal, 10 turnovers. So, look, I don't know. The averages aren't good. 2.2, 1.1. 10 turnovers to 7 assists, though, is a bit of a fucking worry. Come on, Dante. Shooting 43.5% from the floor, 33.3% from 3. King Daly, only getting 13 minutes a game, 2.6 points, 1.3 rebounds, shooting 5 of 42 from 3 for the year, and that's not great, 29.7. So look, Daly could have worked his way into a bit of a, any contender that needs a solid championship-tested backup point guard, here we go, it's Daly time. Not quite there. Best he can hope for, I guess, now is mentoring the young dudes, Darius and the Sex Man. Paddy Thrill's having a great year, 23.7 minutes a game, 11.4 points. He's had a crushing couple of, 31 against the Warriors, 26 the other day, 11.4 points, as I mentioned, 2.2 assists, shooting 45.2% from the floor, 41.4 from three. That is fucking legendary. Good shit, Patty Thrills. Kung Fu Thon, 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 Thon. Averaging 11 minutes a game, shooting 53% from the floor, 50% from three. He shot 7 of 14, so that's pretty good. Thrown into the starting lineup of late because of an injury to Blake Griffin. Other than that, though, a lot of spot minutes. 3.2 points a game, 1.9 rebounds. Again, you'd like to see a little bit more in the limited opportunity he's getting. Still really does seem like when you watch him, he's like, he's figuring some stuff out. And it's like, but you've been in the NBA for a fairly long time now. Jesus. Yeah. Bangers, absolutely crushing it. Now DeAndre Ayton's come back. We're going to see the Suns fall off, no doubt, because they'll be playing bangers less. 22 minutes a game, 14.2 points a game, 5.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists. That's a career high rate. 40.5% shooting from three. Absolutely fucking crazy. Worst part is 4.2 fouls in his 22 minutes a game. Bangers. The fucking refs hate him. I don't know why. I don't know what he's done, but they hate him. They hate us because they ain't us. Finally, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. He's got into five games so far this season. 12 points in that space. 2.4 points a game. He's got six rebounds. That's 1.2. Three assists. One steal. Only two turnovers. 4 of 8 from the floor. All of which have been threes. That's fucking grouse on you, Rowdy. Not bad, man. Not bad. Not bad for 5 minutes work. But still, like, with Rowdy, I mean, I think I've mentioned this before. The Dallas roster is, like, weirdly, crazily healthy. So, bit of a tough one. It's like, you don't want to wish for injuries, but it'd be like, I don't know, just want to see some more Rowdy out there. 4 of 5 from three. So, he's shooting 80% from downtown so far this year. On you, Rowdy. Nice. All right, Mark Bradkey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week. I wanted to give this the Zoobs. Oh, Davicha Zubac. Does get very sweaty very quickly, but look. Watching the Utah game, Bojan, there is a hairy bloke, you know? And I've got a feeling, like, the thinning hair on top, and combined with that, the super sweaty Bojan, and the Croatian as fuck, like, hair jumper underneath that jersey, really, 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 really gets my bracky going on. So there you go, Bojan Bogdanovic, the hair, you know it's there, super sweaty. You're the Mark Bracky Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week. On your Bojan. Not bad, man. Not bad. All right, what do we do on Wednesdays? Let's do a bit of a great moment in NBA Australia stat history.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Ah, yes. Great moments in NBA Australia stat history. 4 years ago, King Deli of Maribor in Canada, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, Decker of Beals, was just then the Prince of Maribor. And probably still the Crusher of Tins because he loves that. But he hadn't yet led the Cavs to the 2016 title. But he did have a two-game great Christmas stretch 4 years ago. And a couple of big wins for the Cavs. A win over Rusty and KD in the Thunder. Deli started, played 38 minutes, absolutely fucking smashed it. 11 points, 10 assists and 5 rebounds. Hit 3 threes. He was absolutely amazing. And then backed it up. He was on one. The Cavs rolled into hosting Philly. Deli, this time, comes off the bench, fucking crushed him. 20 points. That's one below his career high. That came on 7 of 10 shooting. Jesus. Hits 4 of 6 from downtown. Chucks in 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. That's right. Deli had a Richie Benno. 22 for 2 and 2. Not bad. Not bad. He also blocked Jeremy Grant and Tony Roten. Fucking awesome. On you, Deli. That is a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. 2 blocks for Deli. What a game. 22, chew, and chew. Nice. All right, Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. What do we got from Patty today? I don't reckon there's going to be much from Patty today. But we'll have a look. Give it a squiz. What do you think? Oh, yeah, how good was Pat Bev saying we ain't fucking around, like, on the broadcast today? That was pretty funny. Classic. Do we have a Deli tweet? There's nothing from Patty. Oh, yeah, congratulations at Joe Burrow for winning the Heisman Trophy from Deli. That's nice. How about we go to the Creaky Instagram Appreciation Society? I guess that's what it is, isn't it? Mitch Creek. There we go. Creaky, there we go. Oh, he's got a video. Oh, shit. I've teamed up with Shaver Shop AU to give you some insight into the weapon that is the Wild Superior Performance Lithium Iron Trimmer. Oh, fuck, Creek is out here doing ads. Better go check it out. I'm inspired. 60% closer shaving. I've got a giant fucking beard. I don't need that, Creaky. Fuck off.
Balls could use it, tell you what.
All right. That's the Creek Freak Instant Appreciation Society for today. All right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews. Game previews.
Nice one. Well, today I think we went 4 of 6. Let's just check that. We hit Charlotte +4.5, Pacers +4.5, lost on the Hawks +2, lost on the Pels +2, won on the Yaz -5.5, and won on the Clips -12.5. So yeah, 4 of 6. That's pretty good. You'll take that. So at for the year, running total 219 of 393. That's pretty good. You'll take that. You'll take that. All right, tomorrow we've got Chicago at Washington. Let's have a look at some odds, make some picks. Chicago, Washington. It's the Otto Porter Bowl. Love that. Just, it's a shame that Otto Porter doesn't play. I'm going to take the Wiz +1. Oh, wait, without Rui, can I trust Chicago? No. Do I hate their coach? Yes. Can they beat the Wizards tomorrow? Yes. Bulls -1, I'll take that. Fuck, don't like it. Raptors, Detroit. Hey, Dwayne Casey. Yes, his old club. Love these ones. Toronto at Detroit. Take the Raptors -4. They reckon Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin may be back, but no word as of yet. It's going to be a game time decision. I'll take the Raptors -4 there anyway. Charlotte at Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith against Cleveland. Hornets on a back-to-back 3.5-point underdogs against Cleveland, which is pretty crazy considering that Cleveland is shit and Charlotte actually are half-decent. But I do feel like this is a random game where Charlotte on a back-to-back kind of crap the bed a little and the Cavs get one in and feel a little bit better about themselves after a torrid week. The Heat versus the Sixers. The Heat have got a injury list the fucking length of your arm. No Winslow, no Dragic, no Waiters, no James Johnson. So I'll take the Sixers -7. That's going to be a fun-ass game, though. Redux of a couple of awesome playoff series. Pelicans at Wolves. I want to take the Wolves -8.5. Because the Pels, on a back-to-back, traveling, Wolves are going to kill them. Memphis at OKC. OKC -6.5. Whoa, Ja Morant versus Chris Paul. Shai Redder. This is going to be pretty fun. I don't know. The Grizzlies are the ones, they're just like fucking up and down, left, right, and center, aren't they? 6.5 points in OKC. It's just down the road from Memphis. Ja, Triple J, Brandon Clark. I'll take OKC at home. Oh, nah, fuck it. Give me Memphis. They're fun. It's way more fun to go for Memphis. Orlando and Denver. I'm taking Denver -9.5 because Orlando are on a back-to-back and they suck. Boston and Dallas. This is going to be fun. I'll take Boston. I think the shine's going to come off Dallas pretty quickly without Luka. Yes, they were a fun story and beat the Milwaukee. You heard it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. But I don't think they can beat Boston even at home. So give me the Boston Celtics -2 in Dallas. And finally, Warriors at Blazers. Blazers, 9.5-point favorites. I don't know if the Blazers should be 9.5-point favorites over anybody. I can't trust them. I'm going to take the Warriors +9.5. Sorry, PDX Pete, but not that sorry. All right, there you go. To recap, Bulls -1 over the Wiz. Raps -4 over the Pistons. Cleveland, that's right, Stephen A. Smith, over the Hornets -3. Sixers -7 over the Heat. Wolves -8.5 over the Pels. +6.5 for the Grizz over the Thunder. -9.5 for the Nugs over Magic. -2 for the Celtics over the Mavs. And +9.5 for the Warriors over the Blazers. Now remember, go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. Get around their very, very good NBA payout odds. That shit is awesome. Help us out. Come on, do it. All right, that's it for today. Nice one. Legendary. We're back tomorrow with all the usual dumbassery. And a bit of a Kickstarter merch update. After much fucking around, the merch guys have finally come through. I'm going to go pick it all up tomorrow. So hopefully it'll be out there with you pronto. All right, so lots of games to talk about tomorrow. That's going to be fun. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IG, we're all over the socials, you know that. Go to NBA, get around NBAAustralia.com. Go to playup.com.au/NBAAustralia. If you're going to spend any shekels on the NBA, do it there. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Rate and review, please. It really does fucking help out. Come on. Come on, chuck us a review. Go on, do it. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now, and it's a rip snorter. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Face. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, nice one. We're going to close out today's show with a brand new Rowdy's Reco. And we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. As NBA Australia saying,
later, huzzah.
Here, just back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Recos, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. I mean, after all, I played in Russia, where once I saw Rudy Giuliani eat a stray dog just right off the street. So, yeah, I've dealt with ridding myself of my fair share of stress. Okay, so this week's Rowdy Reco is really, really, really easy. Just go for a swim. That's it. If you're stressed, if you're feeling down, just go for a swim. Pop by your local pool or the beach or whatever you can do. And especially if you've got a baby, just let your partner take them for a couple of minutes and just make sure you get your head under that water. And look, I know you're going to want to drown yourself, but don't do it. They need you. Either way, go for a swim and you'll come back feeling refreshed, regenerated, and ready to go. Awesome. So that's it. Even if you're not getting much sleep or whatever, a swim will sort you out quick, smart. And it's great to do with the kids. Okay, so that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. Keep living your best life, and namaste.